Check. Oh, there it is. The suspense makes it better. Amen. One more announcement. This is hot off the presses. If you're a young adult, I mentioned in the Bible study last week, but we need to be able to contact you. So if we don't have your phone number and you don't get our updates for the young adults group, we need your phone number so we can text it to you. And you can put that on a tithe envelope and stick it in any of the blue baskets back there. We have an event coming up July 13th. It's going to be paintball, Brown County, Explore Brown County paintball. And so if that interests you and you're a young adult from ages young to adult, join us. And we'll have a good time. But it's July 13th. It's a Saturday morning. And we're going to be doing that. So I'm also going to invite other people that just want to go and shoot the young adults. Like me. Like Beth, maybe. Whoever. You want to shoot Joshua? Do it. So anyway, but it's July 13th. That's coming up. There's not a lot of room. But we decided to do an event because the Honduras trip was our event for July. And it's been moved back. We still want to do an event as young adults and get together. So it's going to be paintball. Turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 14. We are not in week 87, 82. And that is on the Holy Spirit, his nature, and his leading. And we've been talking about this for several weeks now. And if I could just take my excitement and give it to you, I would. Because he's who we have here now to do the will of God. I mean, we read about Jesus. We read about what Jesus did and how Jesus did it. And this is how Jesus did it. This is who Jesus did it through, by the aiding, the guiding, the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. I only hear or speak what I hear him saying. Him and his own self could do nothing. Jesus is saying that. Well, we're the exact same today by the same Holy Spirit. So we've been learning about who he is, his nature, and his leading, and we're going to continue. And, you know, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's just go to John 14. It says, I will, Jesus speaking, I pray the Father, and he shall give you. This is our text that we've been on for a while now. And he shall give you another comforter, another one other than me, is what Jesus is saying. And he will abide with you forever. Isn't that amazing? Forever is forever. Even when we've died and risen again in the presence of the Lord, the Holy Spirit is still with us forever. Isn't that awesome? I just think that's fantastic. And verse 17, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him, and the world does not know him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Verse 26, same chapter. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. You know, when you're an atheist or an agnostic, the choice that you have made to not believe that there is a God or that there's a God there who doesn't care, that seems to be confirmed to you by that decision. Because right here in verse 17, the world does not see him, neither knows him. So the decision that they've made only seems to be confirmed because the Holy Spirit's not revealing himself to them because they've chosen not to believe in the Lord or that there is a God or that he is for us, loves us, and sent his son to die for us, and yet has sent us another comforter in the Holy Spirit. What did Jesus say? He said, those who love me, those are the ones who keep my commandments. And the Father will love them, and I will love him, and I will manifest. I will show myself to him. Who is Jesus revealing and showing himself to? Those who love him and keep his commandments. That's why it's imperative that we go out and preach the gospel, the kingdom of God, and repentance, just like Jesus did, just like the disciples did. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we've been looking at some of the ways that the Holy Spirit helps us. That word comforter in it is seven different things if you look it out in the Amplified. And one of them is the helper. This is his nature. This is how he can help us in our life today. And if we're not experiencing things in our life, then we're not experiencing the full help that is available to us through the Holy Spirit of God who lives inside of us with our spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm not going to read all of it here, but verse 1 says that he would desire you not to be ignorant concerning these spiritual things. Now, why would Paul say that? Because there's ignorance about it. These aren't taught everywhere in every church across the country or across the world. There are those who don't believe that these are for today whatsoever. So they're not being taught. So there was going to be gross ignorance about them. And those who don't believe in the Lord at all, obviously you're not being taught about them. So Paul, but he is speaking to the church here. He would not have them be ignorant of the Holy Spirit and his help and his manifestations in these ways. In verse 4, it says, Now, there are diversities of gifts. There's difference of gifts, but the same spirit. You'll see this same theme here. There are differences of ministrations, but one Lord. There are differences of operations, but there is the same God that works all in all. There's differences, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. The manifestation is given to every man. Every man, every believer, he's talking to the church here. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to. Who are these manifestations for? All of us. And we should be just as excited if the manifestation of the Holy Spirit comes through our neighbor next to us or us. That shouldn't matter. It's to glorify Jesus, and it's to profit the body. And it's to profit someone for the glory of the Lord. So it's not me, I want. No, it's the body should be experienced the full help. The full capacity of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Verse 8, for one is given a spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit. And that's what we're going to hit today. I'm not going to read through the rest of these. But in verse 11, it says, but all these work with the one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man individually as he chooses. So how do these come? By his will, to whom he chooses. For what purpose? To glorify the Lord Jesus. And to be profitable. Amen. He leads us with an inner witness, it says in Romans chapter 8. And he leads us by peace. And his nature is to help us, to teach us all things, to bring all things to our remembrance, and to show us things to come. These are ways, these are his nature in helping us. But also these nine manifestations. Three of them speak. We haven't spoken on those yet. That is tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. We're going to get to those next week. Three of them reveal. Those we've covered, a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, discerning the spirits, and three of them do, their power. Last week we talked about the workings of miracles. These weeks we're talking about special faith. And inherent in all of these is the gifts of healing. See, we're separating these for instructional purposes, but you got to understand, when the Holy Spirit manifests, this is his nature. He's not, a divided personality. He just shows one. So often these work together, and we'll see that in the scripture, and we have seen that in the scriptures we've looked at. It's not just, oh, that's that one, and oh, that's that one. No, we're dividing them just for teaching purposes. But to understand, it's his nature to help, and these are the ways that he does so. So we're going to talk today about special faith. Now, I know this it didn't say special faith there. It just said to another faith by the same Spirit. So how does this faith come? By the Spirit. So this is a different faith. So I'm going to submit to you today a common faith, and then this faith, this gift of faith, this manifestation of faith that comes by the Spirit. They are different, but they are the same in essence. The difference is how they come and the degree to which they come. Okay? It's just like healing. Nobody who is intelligent will tell you they don't believe in healing. Okay? Well, I don't believe in healing. Really? When you were a boy, did you scrape your knee? Yes, I did. Well, show me. Well, that healed. What? It healed. You're right. It healed. It's not there. If you have a scrape on your knee from when you're 8 years old, go to the doctor. We'll stop service and somebody will drive you there right now. That's not normal. That shouldn't be the case. Okay? That should have healed. So everyone believes in healing. The difference is the nature and the degree of healing. There's healing that your body can heal over a week, a wounded knee, a scraped knee. There's also instantaneous healing, a higher degree of healing. That comes immediately by a manifestation of the Holy Spirit of God and the power of God. Amen? So this faith is the same way. It is a measure of his faith. I'm really getting ahead of myself. Let's just look at this. 1 Corinthians 12:9 says, to another faith. So in the New Living Translation, it says, great faith. In the Amplified Translation, it says, wonder-working faith. I love that. It is a faith that it works wonders. And what do wonders do? They inspire awe. They inspire all. In the Living Bible, it says special faith. It is a gift of faith. Like I said, it's the same in essence, but it's different in degree and how it comes. Jesus talked of little faith. He talked of great faith. He talked of no faith. Our faith can grow. In 2 Thessalonians, it says, a faith that grows exceedingly and a love that abounds. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, 1. If we're going to be talking about faith today, let's just make sure we understand and characterize what faith truly is. Hebrews 11, 1, now faith is the substance, the foundation, is a translation of that word, of things that are confidently expected, things that are hoped for. In my Bible, I have all these notes written down because I've looked at this many different times. So when it says hoped isn't wishing. It's not like, well, I hope for my birthday I get a new bicycle. That's wishing. This is a confident expectation. That's what this word hope means. Of for the evidence of things not seen. Faith is trusting, it is accepting, it is believing, it is being sure inwardly, being persuaded of something you have no physical evidence for. That is faith. No physical evidence for it. You can't see it or feel it. You can't verify it under a microscope or any scientific test. All you have is someone's word on it. Amen. And we have someone's word on it. The word. It hasn't manifested yet. If you are in faith and you are confident and you are convinced it's going to come to pass. Abraham said, I am fully persuaded that the God who promised is able to do. Amen. Are you fully persuaded today that the God who promised is able to do in your life? When you read through the scripture and the God is promising, you know, you tithe, he won't withhold from the storehouses of heaven. Are you confident? Are you inwardly sure that if you tithe, even though it may be difficult to give of your money when you see the bills before you, that he will not pour out the blessings from heaven upon you? That's faith. That's faith in his word. Amen. Are you not confident when God says that my word, pay attention to them, incline your ears to them, put them in your hearts, put a tent and camp on my word? Why? Because they are life, they are health, they are medicine to all of your flesh. Are you confident inwardly? Are you sure and persuaded that all of this word is health and medicine to your flesh? That's faith. When we are sure without a doubt that the promise that God, he is able to do and to perform that completely. In Titus 1:4, I know a lot of you probably don't read Titus. It's a small book in the New Testament. But in Titus 1:4, it says, is that up there? There we go. To Titus, this is Paul writing to Titus. Mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now, this is common faith. Now, it's only common in that it's the common faith that we all share. It's not mundane. Let's not go there, okay? In 2 Timothy, it says this like precious faith that we all have and share and have in common. So this is the common faith. This is the faith that comes, according to Romans 10:17, that comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That's this faith. This is the faith that we all can have. We don't pray for each other to get this faith. We don't lay hands on each other for this faith. We don't beg God for this faith. We hear his word and his faith grows through the exercise and use. We feed this faith on his word. We feed this faith hearing the preaching of his word. That's how faith comes. This is the faith that we can't please God without. This is the faith, this common faith we all share that comes by hearing the word of God that we live by and walk by every single day. This is the faith that overcomes the world. Amen. So it's not common in any degree of the nature we think of the word common, other than that it is to all of us. Special faith is not by hearing, but it is a gift. What did it say in 1 Corinthians 12:9? And faith by the same Spirit, comes by the Spirit, not Romans 10:17, that comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. It is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. It is a God-giving faith out beyond yours and my faith. It is a supernatural manifestation of faith. Our faith is a measure of his faith. Just like a word of knowledge, he knows all things. And the Holy Spirit can share with you all things. A word of knowledge is him giving you something that he knows you didn't previously know. Is he giving you all of what he knows? No, he's not giving you all of what he knows. He's giving you a word. He's giving you a degree, a measure of what he knows. This faith is the same way. We are getting a measure of his faith. It's same in essence, but it's different in degree in how it comes. His faith, he spoke and created planets by. I've not done that. Okay? But my faith comes from the same source. Amen. Amen. And my faith is the one that he says, I can speak to a mountain and it be thou removed, and it be removed. That same faith that Jesus took and spoke, and the tree withered up from the roots. Same faith where he stood on a boat and spoke to the winds and the waves, and they ceased, and it was calm. So we talk about faith here at Spirit Life Church quite a bit. But today, we're not going to that degree of faith. We're talking about this manifestation of how the Holy Spirit helps us in special faith. And we're going to get through some examples here. Turn with me to Acts chapter 14. If it's in the Bible answers Bible questions, right? We don't need to go outside the Bible to find answers to Bible questions. We don't need people's opinions. Now, it's wonderful when somebody's given a revelation by the Holy Spirit. And when you read that and your spirit bears witness with the revelation they've got. But it should always be confirmed by your spirit and the word of God. always. How do we not go awry? It says that he is the spirit of truth. He will guide us into all truth. How do we know what is truth in this present world and in this present life? We have a deceiver out there. We have a destroyer, one to steal, kill, and destroy, one trying to confuse, one trying to mock the things of God, one trying to imitate the things of God. How do we know what is truth and what is a lie? What is good and what is evil? We know by the spirit of truth who lives inside of us, by the witness of our spirit with him, says in Romans chapter 8, verse 16. There's a co-witness. My spirit bears witness with the Holy Spirit. And then we know by the word of God. So Acts chapter 14, this is an example of common faith. I hate even saying that word, but I'm trying to delineate it for you. So this is an example of faith that comes by hearing. So we're going to contrast the two in the scripture. In Acts chapter 14, verse 6, they were aware of it. Oh, that's just horrible. They were aware of what? Verse 5, when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also the Jews with the rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them. Stone who? Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas were aware of it. There we go. And they fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and into the region that lies round about. And there, verse 7, they preached the gospel. What do they preach? They preach the word of God. So when they're preaching, what are people hearing? They're hearing the word. Verse 8, there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb. He had a birth defect. He was a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. So we don't know how old he is, but it said he was a man, right? So in that culture, he was over 13 at least. And he was crippled from his mother's womb. He never had walked. The same, verse 9, the same heard Paul speak. What was Paul speaking about? Was he reading a menu at a restaurant? No, he was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God. He heard him preach. And Paul, who steadfastly beholding this man, this impotent man, Paul perceived that this man had faith to be healed. And verse 10, he said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And the man leaped and he walked. Did this really happen? Or is this just a great encouraging story? And no, this really happened. This man had never walked. This is a creative miracle. He was crippled from his mother's womb. Paul spoke to him. Why? Why did he speak to him? He perceived he had faith. How did the man get faith? From the word of God Paul was preaching. Today, the word of God is being preached. Don't listen to any of my extra words. If it's scripture, the word of God is going forth. You, as a believer, can hear that word, gain faith, believe and receive upon that faith, and boom, it can happen in your life. That's all that's necessary. I truly believe that for each and every one of us here. This man was healed this way. He heard the word of God. Paul perceived he had faith. He spoke to him, and the man obeyed without doubting in his heart on the faith that he got from hearing the word of God. If you need faith for healing, the Bible is full of it. You can be healed by faith when nothing else will work. See, this is why I'm not going to delineate and go directly in a whole week on gifts of healings. For one, I've been doing it for weeks now on our midweek Bible study or podcast. You want to join in the gifts of healing that Jesus, and then we'll go into the ones in Acts as well on the midweek service. If was this the gift of healing? Could be. But we also know this man, Paul, perceived he had faith. Paul was preaching the word of God, and this man was healed. By what? By the faith that he had from hearing the word of God. That should excite us today. You can be healed by faith when nothing else will work. How did this man get healed? He got healed not by Paul's faith, but by his own faith. Faith that he heard from hearing the word of God. Turn with me to Acts chapter 3. Now let's look at a different example. That's just the faith that we get. See, that's the wrong words too. Just the faith we get. I hate that. I'm just trying to distinguish between you. That is the faith that we get from hearing God's word. That is a faith by which in Mark 11, 23, 24, it says, we believe that we receive and we speak to the mountain and it be thou removed. And that excites me. Because I don't have to wait for a special manifestation of the Holy Spirit in that one. Amen. I can read. I can hear the word of God. And that builds my faith, that exercises my faith. Verse 1 in chapter 3 of Acts. You know this account, but let's read it. Read it as if you are there. Read it as if you are there in that moment of time of history, not as somebody preaching it again or a Bible story or something you heard in VBS. No. Read it as if you were there. Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer. The hour of prayer. That convicts me every time I read it. I mean, an hour of prayer. Should I do that every day? Nope. I'm being honest with you. It convicts me. But they did this. It seemed like something they did on a regular basis. It was the ninth hour. Verse 2, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb, that sounds very similar to what we just read in Acts chapter 14, was carried, whom they laid daily. He was there every single day at the gate. I'm just laying some foundation here. Peter and John were going up at the hour of prayer. That's a regularly scheduled thing. Like, you came today at the hour of service. They'd probably been there before. This man was laid daily in that place. They probably has passed this man before. Do you see where I'm going here? Okay. He was laid at a temple gate, which is called Beautiful, to ask for money, to beg for money those who entered the temple. Who, when he saw Peter and John about to go in the temple, asked for alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed to them, expecting to receive something from them. What was he expecting to receive? Money. He wasn't there to worship God. He wasn't there to hear preaching. Nowhere does it say Peter and John were preaching to him. Nowhere, just look at the difference in accounts, does it say that he gained faith by hearing the word of God. Okay? And then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Amen. Another creative miracle. The man had never walked before, and all of a sudden they leap, both of them leap up, and they walk immediately. Verse 8, and he leaping up stood and walked and entered in with them to the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Not men, but God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Again, these manifestations of spirit we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. They glorify the Lord. And they profit somebody. Is the Lord being glorified here? Absolutely. Is it profitable to somebody? Absolutely. Verse 10, and they knew that it was the man who always sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder. What did the Amplified say? A wonder-working faith. Filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Verse 11, the lame man which was healed held Peter and John. All the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered the people, you men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you look so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? Was it the power that Peter possessed? No. Are these manifestations of the Spirit's gifts that we just wield whenever we want? No. It says severally, individually, as he will. If so, Peter could have done this any other time, but he did it this time. Why? I'm getting ahead of myself. I got to stop doing that. Verse 13, the God of Abraham, this is Peter explaining it, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, who you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let them go. You know, it's amazing how you can bring conviction with the word of truth after a miracle just happened. I mean, right here, he's just telling them, you guys killed this man. He's the one who did this. How is that possible? Because they're in amazement at what had just occurred and what had just happened. And this happened outside of the church, not inside of the church. You know, the greatest mark of an evangelist's ministry is healings and miracles. It's the greatest mark. Who is the one person called an evangelist in the Bible? Philip. And after he was anointed, he was full of the Holy Ghost to serve tables. He went out. It says that many miracles and healings were done by Philip. And he was evangelist. Why is this the case? Because when a miracle, a sign, or wonder is done, or someone is healed and raised up, there's accounts in the Bible, we'll get to it in Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 6, where whole cities were turned to the Lord because of what had happened. It gathers attention and glorifies the Lord Jesus. And now you have the opportunity to speak with a boldness you might not have had before. Why? Because the glory of the Lord was shown. And people are wondering, and they want to know how it was done. And it captures their attention. Verse 14, but you denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. You killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Verse 16, and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea. Now this I circled, the faith which is by him hath given him the perfect soundness in the presence of you all. The faith which is by him. See, this man wasn't there to hear the word of God. He wasn't there looking to get healed. Everyone who came to Jesus was healed. Do you know that? Looking for healing. You know, there was times that Jesus just passed them by and didn't heal everybody. There was 5 porches of Solomon. He healed a man at one of them. There in his own town, because of their doubt and unbelief, he could do just a few healings, but there's many there who he left who were never healed. And we're going to talk about that. You can't override somebody else's will, typically, unless it's by manifestation of the Holy Spirit. If somebody comes to you earnestly, willing, seeking, humble to hear the word of God, they can grow in faith and receive. If not, can you just straighten their life out for them? It's not the way it works. It's not the way it typically works. Verse 16, the Amplified says it this way. I just read that. It says, "And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, faith which is by him." The Amplified says this. Faith that comes through Jesus. Faith that is by Jesus. Another translation says, the faith which was given by Jesus. Faith that was inspired by Jesus. Not faith by hearing the word of God. This is different. Faith through hearing. No. There's no indication that Peter and John preached to this man. And there's nothing instead of the lame man's faith. We see that exact account in Acts chapter 14. We already read it. They both were lame. They both were miraculously healed, but by different means, but the same Spirit. Doesn't it say there's different manifestations, but the same Spirit? Different administrations, but the same Lord? Think about healing. How can you be healed? You can believe you receive by hearing the word of God. Acts 14, he was healed. This man was healed a different way. You can come, and he's sick among you, and the elders can lay hands on you to be healed. This is how much God is for healing. In the covenant, what's one of his covenant names? Jehovah, what's the one for healing? Rapha. Does God change ever? No, he is the Lord thy God who heals thee. He's in the healing business. You read Jesus' ministry, he was in the healing business. Because there's a lot less we can do with a sick body than with a fully healthy, invigorated body empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. They both had faith. Chapter 14, the faith came by hearing. Here in chapter 3, it was the faith which is by Jesus. Peter just didn't decide to do it that day. I already mentioned this. It was the hour of prayer, an established thing. Maybe they did it every day. I'm not sure. But I don't believe it was the first time that they went. I don't believe it was the first time that man was laid there. It said that he was laid there daily. I don't believe it was the first time they saw this man. It probably wasn't the first time that they saw this man. So why was it today that he looked at the man, he fastened his eyes on him, and spoke thus? Because he was led by the Holy Spirit of God. It's not just faith in his name. It's not if you have faith enough in his name, you can just go clean out a hospital. Jesus didn't do that. Neither did Peter or Paul. And there's been well-intentioned people who have walked into a hospital room and pulled people out of a bed because they've grabbed a hold of some truth here, but were not led by the Holy Spirit to do so, and the person fell, or the person wasn't healed. And then the enemy has an opportunity to flood that person with doubt and shame and mockery of anybody else who saw that, of the faith. Why? Because it's not just, oh, I have faith here, here, and here, and here. It's also being led by the Holy Spirit. I can say I have faith all day long for somebody's new car, but if it's not led by the Holy Spirit, that's not my car. That would be robbery, and I wouldn't just go take it. It's not just a power gift to possess. We got to understand. Remember, Jesus said, I can of my own self do nothing. We are the same way. We are no different. But what happened here? Well, why did Peter walk by yesterday? Why did he walk by last week maybe? Because it's not Peter's power, it's God's power. But what were Peter and John? I'll tell you what they were. They were praying men. They were Holy Spirit filled men. They were tongue talking men, right? They were men of faith. They were yielded to and open to and led by the Holy Spirit of God. And that is how this man, do you see it when he spoke to him? He said, he fastened his eyes upon him. And with John, he said, look on us. We talked about faith being confident, convinced, fully persuaded. Do you think he said that? Hey, sir, will you look at me real quick? No. Just like Paul, when he perceived the other man had faith, he said, rise up and walk. They are full of faith in themselves. But this here is a degree or manifestation of the Holy Spirit. This man wasn't looking for healing. Peter didn't perceive he had faith for healing. This was a faith manifested by the Holy Spirit that overcame this man and his situation and his circumstance. Let's look at another example. Go to Acts chapter 9. When it comes to other people, we have to either get them with us or we're going to have a manifestation like this, a faith that is beyond, which is common, not by hearing the word, but that comes by the Spirit. Why? Because not all people are in church to hear the word of God. Some don't want to hear the word of God. But you know what? It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, at the end of that chapter, it says that we are to covet. Now, usually in the Bible, the word covet means what? Don't covet your neighbor. Don't cover their wife or their possessions or their things or their home. But here, Paul, by the Holy Spirit, is saying, do covet. He could have said just desire. He could have said just want or long for it, but he said covet. And that wasn't enough. It says covet earnestly. Earnestly, these manifestations. Covet earnestly these manifestations. And then the rest of that verse there at the end of chapter 12 in 1 Corinthians says, but I'm going to show you a more excellent way. And what is chapter 13 all about? It's about love. See, these manifestations of the Holy Spirit are tied to the love of God, the compassion of God, going out, move for the people. Amen. One of pastor's life verses, move for the people, and he healed them all. It's tied with the love of God. We have to have the love of God operating and working in us first to have compassion, not just pity or empathy for somebody, but our compassion, the love of God to go out to them. And the manifestation of the Spirit is tied to that in so many ways. Paul ties it together in this letter, speaking of them in chapter 12, and then going into love in chapter 13. And that's how we are to operate in these. But he says, covet earnestly these things. In your life, what do you earnestly desire? I woke up yesterday early enough because I earnestly desired to watch soccer. I love soccer. I love World Cup soccer because it's the best that's in the world, right? I don't love 8-year-old soccer. It's not the best brand of soccer I could ever watch. And I coach it. And I'm not even sure there's coaching. It's more just like, no, just stay in bounds, please. Don't cry to mom, okay? Just please kick the ball or do something. But no, I like watching things. I like watching that which is at the top. You know, the most elite, the best people do it. Because then you're seeing what it's truly meant to be. I earnestly wanted to see this soccer game. So much so, I didn't leave the bed. I just turned on my computer and watched it right there. And Kendall's running around doing awesome things, and I'm watching soccer by myself. And then there's another game on. I said, Kendall, can you drive to Shelbyville so I can watch the rest of this game as we're going to the Cubs game? And then I took it in from Cincinnati from there. But anyway, I really wanted to watch that. But are we this way about the things of God? Are we hungry for the manifestations, the help of the Holy Spirit? His nature is to help us, but are we not desiring that help? Are we still doing things in our own way and out of our own strength? I know I fall in that category sometimes. Acts chapter 9, verse 32. This is the same church, right? We're writing our own chapter in this right now. I don't know what chapter it is. We got to understand that what's going on in chapter of Acts is how we are to be operating and living by every single day. Acts chapter 9, verse 32. It says this. It came to pass as Peter passed through all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. I guess that's Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which he had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. 8 years. Peter said to Aeneas. Now, Peter's not preaching the gospel. Aeneas isn't hearing the anointing of the word of God. Doesn't say anything about Aeneas' faith, does it? But he turned to Aeneas, he said, Jesus Christ makes you whole. Arise, make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. Two whole cities turned to the Lord right here for this manifestation of faith. It was also a gift of healing. The man was healed. It's also a miracle. Again, we're separating these for the purpose of study. But the faith overcame this man's situation. And Peter, led by the Holy Spirit, looked at him, didn't preach to him, and said, Jesus Christ makes you whole, arise. And he arose. Keep reading with me. Verse 36. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deed, which she did. It came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. She'd already died. Do we believe that, or do we believe what science says about these miracles? Well, you know, they didn't have defibrillators. They didn't have pulse checkers. You know, it probably wasn't really dead. No, she died. The Bible says she died. The Bible's truth. She died. And for as much as Lydda was near to Joppa and the disciples had heard Peter was there, they sent to him two men desiring that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter rose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and sewing the coats and garments that Dorcas made. They're doing what people do in the natural when someone passes away. Oh, and she made this, and isn't it lovely? And they cry about it. And, oh, she did that. Oh, yes, she was full of good works, and they cried about it. And Peter put them all out and said, no, you need to go. You need to go. And then, if you continue reading, Peter came in because he had the juice. He had the power. He'd already done this with Aeneas and the man at the beautiful gate. He started rebuking demons and yelling and shouting. He said, raise up. No, it's not what he did at all. Let's really read the scripture. What does it say instead? It says, but Peter put them all out. He did do that. And he knelt down and prayed. If it was a gift that he could wield anytime he wanted, why would he do this? Why is he kneeling down and praying? He's seeking the guidance and direction of the Lord. Is there any point in him praying over this woman if the Lord says no? If she's already dead and the Lord's not speaking it? No, none. But he's seeking the guidance and direction of the Holy Spirit. Can you just raise someone to dead because you believe or desire or want to? No. Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. After he prayed, he turned to the body and said, Tabitha, arise. She opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Amen. And he gave her his hand. He lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. So here we see Peter again. Faith. The woman didn't have faith. She was dead. He didn't preach to her first. Hey, get some faith while you're lying there so you can hear and believe, and then you can raise. No, that's not the way that it happened. In Acts chapter 16, you know this account, but Paul was going around. We can just turn there. We got some time here. Acts chapter 16. I think it's verse 16. Yep. It came to pass as he went to prayer, a certain young lady, a damsel, possessed with the spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. So what was she doing? She was telling the future. Now, a lot of that is just garbage when you go to people, but there are real people who have been empowered with the spirit of divination that can tell the future. And the Bible forbids us to seek that counsel. Absolutely forbids us. You go in there, you open the door to the enemy, he can come in and do some screwy things. So don't do that. Okay? Verse 17, the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Was she lying? No, she was speaking the truth, but it's annoying. Imagine this little girl following you many days screaming this out loud. That's what she did, right? Verse 18, and this she did many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that same hour. Same hour. Why did Paul wait many days? I'm pretty sure it was probably annoying the first day. I'm pretty sure he probably knew it was a spirit of divination the first day. Why did he wait? She wasn't coming after them seeking deliverance. She wasn't coming after them to be prayed for. See, we can't just override people. Unless it's just manifestation of the Holy Spirit like this, we can't override people's lives and to straighten them out. If they don't want it, if they want the Spirit, guess what? They're going to have the Spirit. And they're going to live with the Spirit. And they're going to dwell with the Spirit. They have to desire. See, because it takes humility to come to somebody and say, please pray for me. I'm sick. It takes humility to come to somebody and say, look, I'm struggling with this. Please pray for me. That's humbling yourself. That's prostrating yourself in a place to receive a ministry. Because these gifts are ministry. These gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 are ministry to the body and to those who would have them. Was not Aeneas ministered to when he wasn't sick anymore after 8 years? Was not the man at the gate ministered to when he wasn't sick anymore? When he was laid there daily? Was this girl not ministered to even though she wasn't seeking ministry? Yes. Well, how come he could do it now? By the manifestation of the Holy Spirit overcame what was riding in that. Because see, Paul didn't have to worry about that devil getting on him. No, that we have power, we have authority over all the power of the enemy. That wasn't the case. When it comes to you believing for yourself and kids, I believe without a doubt, according to the word of God, you don't have to wait for a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. You can take authority over the enemy and by faith believe that you receive. You have that authority in the Spirit over yourself and over your children. But when it comes to people outside of that sphere, if they're not willing, if they're not desiring, if they're not hearing the word of God, then it will take a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. I want to read to you a couple of accounts here by Smith Wigglesworth. The key is that we know him. The key is that we walk in the Spirit, that we pray in the Spirit, where we hear from the Spirit. And what the Lord does give us, that we can minister out of. Anything beyond that, we're just trying. And if we just try, then we have the instance where people just go. It's just like here. If Paul could do that all the time, he could have walked into any mental institution and cleaned it out. But he didn't. Why? There's a reason. There's a reason. We got to know that. We have to be led by the Holy Spirit of God. Smith Wigglesworth, I want to read these two examples. I don't normally do this, but these two were so good. I want to read them to you, and then we'll close. After I read the first one, if the band wants to go ahead and come out, we'll be done. So Smith Wigglesworth at this point was still a plumber. He hadn't left. He hadn't gone into ministry or anything. He's still a plumber. Is the Holy Spirit for plumbers to help and lead and guide and direct? Yes. We read this in Exodus chapter 31, where the two craftsmen were anointed by the Holy Spirit to do all the work of building the tabernacle. And all metal work and all woodwork and all embroidery work, whatever it was, by the Holy Spirit. I don't care what your job is. You can't do it the best you can do it without the leading and help of the Holy Spirit. But he came home from being a plumber in the afternoon and learned that his neighbor who was sick, she died. Now, these are his words, so it's going to sound like I'm reading the first person because I'm just reading a quote from him. Lady, this is him, laid on the bed and I began to penetrate the heavens with my prayers with the faith that I had. I just like that phrase, penetrate the heavens. All the time, my wife was shaking me saying, stop praying. She's already dead. It's too late. I just kept praying. All right, I got to take a little aside here. About 3 weeks ago, I told you, we're talking about a word of knowledge, and I said that the lady had a word of knowledge about the camper, you know, with no light bulbs, and word of knowledge about the newspaper, and they found directions to the church they're going to go minister at, right? And I made the comment. So after that Sunday, I was talking to Kendall. I said, hey, so what did you learn today at church? And it's like when you ask your kids to come home from school, how was school today? Fine. That's all you get, fine. Did you have a good day? It was fine. What was for lunch? Fine. That's all you get. Any parent agree with that? So this is what I'm going with Kendall. Like, okay, what happened at church today, you know? What did you learn? Well, you talked about the gift spirit. I said, not all of them, which ones? And she just kind of thought there for a moment. She goes, well, I did learn that women are more spiritual than men. I'm like, what? That's not even biblical. So here, the wife is saying, stop praying, honey, she's dead. I just had to, you know, just put us back on at least an even playing field here, right? So the wife is praying. The wife's shaking. He goes, I just kept praying. Directly, this is him speaking, I came to the, oh, this is so good. Directly, I came to the end of my faith, his faith, his common faith that he had from hearing the word of God and growing and exercising it. And when I did, I was conscious of a faith that took a hold of me that could not be denied. Let me read that again. Directly, I came to the end of my faith. And when I did, I became conscious of a faith that took hold of me that could not be denied. Sounds like a wonder-working faith. Sounds like a special faith. Sounds like a gift of faith. While I was praying in my own faith, it seemed the answer was no. But when this other faith came over me, I looked right into heaven and I said yes. The next thing I know, without intending to do it, without realizing that I was doing it, I got a hold of that woman. I pulled her right out of bed. I stood her up against the wall and commanded her to walk in the name of Jesus. And she started breathing and walking and was raised up. Does that sound like what we're talking about here? Special faith, a manifestation of the Holy Spirit in his life. Go ahead and come on up here. You guys can start playing. I want to read another one about Smith Wigglesworth about special faith. If you go through the accounts of his life and some of the testimonies he had, you would see that he's been used this way many times. Before he even knew what he was doing. I bet if you would ask Peter when he was going past the man on the gate beautiful and he was just begging for money, he just turned before he even knew what he was doing. The faith raised him and said, I don't have it. Look on here and rose him up. And he'd be like, I didn't even know I did that. You know, because it's not his power. It's not him doing it. There is no healer on earth that you can go to do all these things. But there is a power of God inside each and every believer, yielded to the Holy Spirit, that you can go and receive ministry from. And he's inside of you as well. You don't even have to go somewhere else. But the Bible does say we can go and get agreement with our faith. The Bible does say we can go and get hands laid upon us if we are sick. Absolutely, we should. And go with the faith that we have. You know, doctors are wonderful. Many of us wouldn't be here if it weren't for the work of doctors. But remember, there's no doctor as a healer. They may do a procedure. They may do a surgery. They may remove something or set something in place. But whenever they're done, then the healing begins. And when we go to the doctor, our prayer should always be for a quicker, a speedier recovery and manifestation of healing than whatever the doctor may say. And if that's the faith where we're at, then that's the faith that we use and hold on to. Amen. We're never against doctors. Absolutely. Absolutely not. Doctors are wonderful. And if you're being called to be a doctor, go. Be a spirit-filled doctor. Pray over your patients. Minister to them in the spirit as much as anything else. And allow the Lord to use you there. Smith Wigglesworth, here's another account. I was taken into a house where a young woman was lying on the bed helpless. Her reasoning had gone from her, and there were many things manifested that were satanic, and I knew it. She was a young woman with a young husband and a beautiful child. It was heartbreaking, and I asked them, who was attending to you? Do you have anyone to help you? The husband said, yeah, we have everything. He asked, do you have any spiritual help? Well, there's a question, isn't it? Have we ever asked that of somebody? Do you have any spiritual help? But he asked, do you have any spiritual help? And the husband stormed out and said, help? You think we believe in God after all these weeks of no sleep and maniac conditions? Was there faith in a room for her to be delivered? Is Smith Wigglesworth preaching to these people to build their faith? No. Something had to be done, he said. With all the faith that I had, I began to penetrate the heavens, and I soon was out of that house and into the presence of the Lord. As I saw in the presence of God the limitations of my faith, there came yet another faith, a faith that could not be denied. This sounds similar, doesn't it? A faith that took the promise, a faith that believed God's word, and God gave me a faith that could shake hell and anything else. And I said, come out of her in the name of Jesus. She rolled over and fell asleep and woke up 14 hours later, completely in her right mind. Amen. Please stand with me. Do we believe in the power of God, the mighty Holy Spirit, the helper? I'm asking this question. The Bible says we are to covet earnestly these manifestations in our life. I desire the full help of the Holy Spirit of God. The full help in my life, in this body, in this community. After this manifestation of the Holy Spirit, two whole cities turn to the Lord. How much of this city needs the Lord and don't know it? How many people do you know are in a situation and they don't even know how dire it is? We got to continue to speak truth to them. They can gain faith that way. But we have to be open and yielded to the Holy Spirit to manifest as He will and to rise up in boldness. Peter was bold when he spoke to the lame man. Smith Wigglesworth, when you read those accounts, he was bold, didn't even know he was doing it. Picked up a dead woman and put her up against the wall and spoke life into her, led by the Holy Spirit. Do we desire this? I know I do. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I thank you that what we read today is out of your word. Yes, there's some accounts from Smith Wigglesworth, how you use mightily, and we know that. But even more powerful is your word, God. I thank you for your word. And I pray right now that our hearts would be good ground that this word is sown into, that we would water this word, feed on this word. We would be open and yielded to you, Holy Spirit, to manifest as you please as in our lives at any time, at all times, in Jesus' name. Amen.